A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Mark Kenobi, Kale, and Willie Rowe. Years before they all came together on Nal Hutta for a job working with the Hutt. Kale and Willie Rowe, childhood friends, one a rebellious teen, the other a well-mannered bookworm dedicated to learning. Mark Kenobi, a famous Holo movie star, known for his action movie franchises like Space Transformers, none ever expecting the drastic change their lives were about to take. Seven years before the crew meet up on Nal Hutta, we find Mark Kenobi on Coruscant. You are at the premiere of your latest movie. What is the name of that movie? Yeah, you're on your fucking feet. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
What's that?
What's the name of Marky's latest movie that is at the premiere for?
Oh, that would be the last movie that I did was actually for the Hutts. Mm-hmm. They bankrolled it.
Okay.
And it was definitely called The Darkness Below.
Okay.
It was an action drama.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so they had a budget of $100 million for it, credits. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a lot on the line.
Yeah. So you go to the premiere, you walk down the red carpet, you take selfies, you sign autographs for all your fans, like, you sign some Space Transformers merch and whatnot. You also do some quick interviews, and then you go enjoy the film. And then after the premiere, you go to this huge party, and you celebrate the release of the movie with your co-stars and the crew. And eventually, as the party begins to dwindle, you decide it's time to go home. So you leave the party. You're a little tipsy. You're not, like, blackout drunk, but you're definitely a little inebriated.
Just feeling pretty good.
As you're leaving the party, you see, like, a high-end black speeder waiting.
That's a nice speeder.
There's a human there, and he's in, like, I don't want to say like a suit, but, you know, like nice clothes. Mm-hmm. He's got a little driving cap on, and he has a sign that reads Mark Kenobi.
That's me.
So you jump into the back of the speeder. He opens the door for you and closes you in. Mm-hmm. And again, it's like kind of think like a limo type speeder, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's got like drinks back there. There's some champagne, and there's a little holo deck, and currently, it's just, like, the news, the, like, evening news, but they're showing footage from the premiere.
That's me.
Yeah, and so you watch.
And I look good.
You see, you know, you arriving before and, you know, walking down the red carpet and, again, signing stuff.
I gotta fix that walk.
And you do an interview with someone there from the station or whatever that's interviewing you about the movie, and they're like,
can you please tell me more about this movie?
Well, yeah, of course I can. Well, it's really a story about coming of age. Mm-hmm. The loss, tragedy, and what it takes to come back from it.
Okay. You know, there was rumors going around when the movie was being filmed that there was, you know, some dispute between you and the director. How was it working with the director?
Well, I can tell you right now that I have nothing but respect and admiration for any director that I work with. And I think it's important to have artist integrity. And, you know, if I need to stand up for the things that I believe in and that would be right for the character that I chose. And sometimes, you know, we butt heads, but I think that we came together and we created something special.
So you continue watching and it's showing, you know, them talk to your co-stars and stuff. And there's a highlight reel, you know, just of people showing up and walking in and going into the theater to see it. But suddenly it's cut off and there is a breaking news segment. And the reporter's there and goes on to say,
the Republic has lost Kashyyyk to the Brotherhood of Darkness. The Sith were able to take control over the planet after a platoon named the Gloomwalkers were able to raise the morale of the Sith army, our sources say. The Republic has retreated to Trandoshan for the time being while they decide how to strike back at the Brotherhood. Meanwhile, more people have been kidnapped and are being held for ransom or being publicly executed by the Sith.
And as that newsreel is playing, the driver, maybe he's tired of listening to the news or whatever, but he has slid the partition up. And as you're sitting there watching this, you know, you're still a little tipsy. You're kind of mad that, you know, you're not on the TV anymore. Because Mark Enemy doesn't give a shit about this war.
We changed channels for this?
We didn't change channels. It was interrupted. It was a breaking news.
I'm tipsy.
Oh, yeah. So as you're sitting there watching, you hear a...
I think we got a flat tire.
And a cloud of, like, smoke fills the cabin.
We about to have a party?
And you start to feel a little tired.
We are not having a party.
Yeah. The cabin has been filled with a noxious gas, and you are unconscious.
Night-night, Mark and Obi.
You wake up, and you're in a holding cell, unaware of where you are.
Hello?
You hear a voice from the cell next to you, but you're unable to see them.
You awake in there?
Yeah. What happened?
Looks like you've been kidnapped.
What do you mean, kidnapped? I'm Mark Kenobi.
Yeah, and I'm Senator Luke Tendril of Chandrilla.
Oh, what's up, man?
Well, I've been kidnapped, too.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
So we're both kidnapped?
Yes, we're being held by the Brotherhood of Darkness.
Who?
The Brotherhood of Darkness.
Who?
The Sith.
I gotta get back, man.
Well,
I got a worldwide tour. I got a new movie that just came out.
That's probably why they kidnapped you.
For what?
I don't know.
They want tickets? I'll give them tickets.
They've been kidnapping high-profile people and ransoming them for money.
Listen, there ain't nothing more high-profile than me. So I'm kind of like, you know, that's... I'm on it.
Well, if they don't ransom you, then they'll kill you. That's kind of been their MO.
Okay.
They've been killing and ransoming people.
Like... Do you have to have people that care for you or something?
Yeah.
I think I'm fucked.
But you're Mark Kenobi.
That's true.
So you have like a...
You think I could crowdsource this?
I mean, maybe. Anything's possible.
Okay. How you getting out?
Well, I'm hoping that they'll just, you know, ransom me and that hopefully my family will pay the ransom.
You got that kind of money?
No, but I mean, I'm a senator.
Oh, you fucked too.
Maybe they'll crowdsource it. I'm a senator.
I mean, maybe, you know, maybe we could crowdsource together. Listen. Have you looked to see if there's a way out of here?
There's not.
How do you know?
Well, how would we get out?
I'm going to look.
Okay.
I look for a way to get out.
Nope. You see that you're in like this little cell. It's a little like 8x8 cell. It's got a little bed. It's just a flat like piece of metal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's no bars. It's like an energy field that's keeping you in. You cannot get through that. And there's a small energy field that looks to be blocking an empty cubby hole. You'll eventually learn that this is where your food is dispensed from, but for now, you don't know what it is or what it's for. But you know that looking around, that there's no way out.
This is really going to hurt my image. Do you know the PR that this will cause? People will hunt me down. They need me. They will find me.
Well, let's hope so. Maybe they can rescue the both of us.
Well, I don't know. If they have a big enough car, maybe.
And with that, you slump down on the metal makeshift bed and wait. And wait. And wait. A year passes, and you are still in that cell.
How has no one paid a ransom for me?
There is no one down here with you anymore. About 6 months in, they came with Senator Luke Tendril, and they knocked him out and dragged his body away, and you have not seen or heard from him since.
Hello?
Every once in a while, you know, you'll see guards walk by as they patrol the area. But once a day, the chute opens and there is a container of food. And it's typically just like a piece of bread and a thing of water. It gives you about 30 minutes to grab it.
Okay. During these rounds when people are walking by, can I interact with them or no?
You can always try.
Jimmy. Brandon. Paul. You!
And they just continue walking by. You spend roughly a year on this ship, the last months completely alone. With Senator Luke Tendril gone and the Sith ignoring you, you begin to withdraw into your own mind at this point, the loneliness just sinking in, the despair that no one has seemed to come rescue you or pay the ransom. The worry sets in that the Sith will execute you any day now. And with that, we move over to Kale and Willy on Coruscant. Their story beginning a little more than a year before we find them heading to Nal Hutta to join Verbuck's crew. The scene opens at a funeral. All of Coruscant's finest are here. From politicians and their aides, to leading industrial leaders and scientists. All dressed in black for the funeral. We see Kale D-Bag standing next to his father, Monta D-Bag, as the line waits to shake their hands and give Kale and his father their condolences. This funeral is for Mimzo D-Bag, Kale's mother. So, as the progression of people pass by, Senator Nikki Beeve, the Arcanian senator that we have met before in the show, she walks by and she shakes her father's hand and she tells him she was always fond of your mother and the time that they worked together in the senator's office before your mom left to head up some work for your father's company and stuff, and that she was sad to see her resign her position there, and she's sad for the loss and all that stuff, and she shakes your hand.
Thank you for your condolences.
Next in line coming through is Willy Fama and Lynn Kama.
Oh,
yeah. And their son Willy Roma, who you've known for a number of years again because Lynn Kama works with Senator Nikki Beeve, and you guys spent time together growing up. And again, they pass through and they're like, "So sorry for your loss." And then you and Willy are face to face.
We do like a very somber secret handshake that we had.
Yeah.
So like, it's like Corey and Sean, but slow.
Nice, still got it.
So as you guys are talking to each other, Kale, you begin to tell Willy about how you can't wait to get off of Coruscant.
This is the worst. This is the worst thing I could ever imagine. I don't know what it's like for you right now, but it's literally home life is the worst thing I could possibly experience. I mean, other than the loss of my own mother.
I feel like those two go hand in hand.
My dad's been a real dick, dude.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I looked over.
He's busy talking to someone else. He doesn't hear this side
care.
Conversation.
He didn't care.
Yeah, he didn't care.
Your beard's coming in nice.
Thanks. Ding.
That's cool. That's new.
So you continue to talk to Willy Rowe, and we flash back nearly 6 months before to the day of your mother's terrible accident. You and your mother are working in the lab. She is working on a new form of carbonite vapor to help with carbon freezing, as carbonite and carbon freezing is a huge part of DRII. And you are there in her lab helping her do some test runs on this stuff.
Subject B39, ready for testing. Commence whenever you're ready, Mom.
She takes a look at her data pad and she says, like, "Can you go over there? And can you just hit that switch over there just real quick? We got to make sure that we got the influx capacitors working right."
Sure, whatever. Let's just hurry this up. I got to get to practice. Band practice.
What's the name of your band again, honey?
Mom, I told you like 300 times. It's Hoth Patrol.
Okay.
We're a new sound. If I lay here. If I just lay here. Would you run over me with that speeder now?
Can you please go hit that switch?
I'm going to hit the switch.
Okay, so you go.
I go ahead and I hit the switch.
As you're walking over to hit this switch, you don't see there's a mouse droid zooming by, doing its normal mouse droidy things that they do, and you step right on it.
Shit!
And it slides out underneath your foot, kind of like a skateboard, you know, in cartoons and stuff. Where,
yeah.
And you try to grab at stuff as you're kind of falling backwards.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
And you rip a tube free, a tube that was passing some of the carbonite vapor, part of the formula that your mother had been working on, and it accidentally sprays her right in the face. And thankfully, the vapor was only part of the total formula, so it doesn't freeze her face in carbonite, but she does turn, and she starts coughing violently.
Fuck.
She tells you that it's fine, but you see she's coughing up green blood. And she's trying to wave you off, like, "It's fine, Mom. It's fine, it's fine, I'll be fine."
No, Mom. Mom, are you all right?
She continues coughing as you rush to get her help, the entire time reassuring you that she'll be fine and not to worry about it. But you see, over the next few months, as her health begins to decline, she meets with various doctors, including Willy Fama, who all try to stop the carbonite from spreading and slowly freezing her lungs internally. You see her get sicker and sicker, until finally, she's laying on her deathbed. She's slipped into a coma, and her body is starting to shut down. Your father's like,
"Oh no, not my sweet Mimzo, not my sweet Mimzo."
As she flatlines and passes, and we're back to the funeral.
Oh, man.
Fuck.
we see you and Willie still standing there talking, and your father finally glances over and sees that the line has begun to back up. And your dad turns to you and he's like, Kale!
Yeah?
You and your friend either get outside and go talk or whatever if you're not going to take this fucking seriously. Or, Willie, I'm sorry, son, but you need to move. You guys just need to move on or because you're causing a traffic jam.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Let me just do that. That's what's important right now.
At this point, you've had enough. All throughout your mother's sickness, your father has more or less blamed you for
her
accident.
He's like dropping subtle hints, if not saying it outright.
And after she's passed, your father could barely stand to be in the same room with you. It's at this moment that you decide to leave. And not just leave the funeral, but Coruscant also.
I stomp off, and if there's a buffet table, which there probably is, we got a nice spread going. I just flip over a table.
What? What? Step at me. Come on, Willie.
Willie, do you go with him?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Fine. I don't need any of this shit.
Yeah. And I turn around to Willie, who's hesitant to leave. He kind of wants to stay with his parents and make a scene.
Yeah,
not make a scene, maybe?
Just stand quietly next to my parents for a little bit.
And I was like, Willie, I'm leaving this planet. I'm leaving all these dumb idiots. And if you ever want to get off the planet too, hit me up on that next tail. You know what I'm saying? Fuck this table too! And I turn over another table.
That one has all the pictures and stuff of your family.
I pick up all the pictures and I carry them out.
I'm taking these.
And you storm out, pictures in tow. And we star wipe. A year has passed. And Kale, you are now a smuggler. You've been working various jobs across the galaxy, but you find yourself back on Coruscant having just finished another job. You're lounging on your new ship. Well, new to you. And the ship is named the Sweet Mimzo.
My chariot. My princess. My sweet ride.
You're lounging there, and you're scanning Spacebook on your data pad, and you see a post from Willie Rowe, lamenting his time at the University of Coruscant, and he's just miserable. And you decide to give him a call and see if maybe he wants to hang out for old time's sake.
Beep, boop, beep.
Hello.
Hey, is your flux capacitor running?
No.
Then you better go catch shit. Hey, it's...
Kale?
Yes, Kale. It's Kale. I was doing a thing. Whatever.
How's it going? It's been a long time.
It's been a minute, man. How you been?
All right.
Yeah.
How about yourself? You doing better?
I'm every day. Every day's a new day. Been living life, living large. I got into the smuggle business.
Oh.
Yeah.
What have you been smuggling?
A little this, a little that. You name it, we'll smuggle it. You need any books? You need any encyclopedias?
Not right now.
Cool. If you ever, I got a batch. I got a hot batch off the...
It's all online.
I robbed a Scholastic bus. So, I got a lot of hard copies. Whatever. Anyway, you wanna meet up? I'm kind of in the area.
Oh, crazy. You're on planet?
Yeah. Just in town for the weekend, whatever. It's like a convention, smugglers convention, and we talk about the latest hidey holes. And hide rocks. There's a whole thing hide a key in an asteroid. It's wild. It's buck wild.
How would you find it?
Exactly. I didn't invent it. I didn't say it was doing well. I just thought that was kind of interesting. Thought you might enjoy it.
Do you want to go to that diner that we've had space shakes at before?
Oh my god, you read my mind. Yeah, let's go meet up there.
So you guys go to Space Shake Shack. You guys get in line. And from there, you can see the bright neon lights of the Core Medallion, one of the many casinos here on Coruscant. This one just happens to be near where you guys are.
Looks hot. You want to pop inside after we get our drinks?
I suppose. I don't know if we can take them in there.
Have you ever been to a casino?
I haven't.
Figures.
Does it?
Yeah, goober.
I think I just turned the age where you can go.
Oh, shit.
So.
Oh, well, that makes more sense. All right.
So you guys get your shakes and you make the walk over to the casino. And as you're walking, Willie's telling you about his time at the university and how he spends all of his free time studying. He talks about the pressure he feels from his family to follow in their footsteps and their studies, and how he feels like he's just about to cave under the stress. Eventually you guys enter the casino and head over to some of the slot machines. What does Willie think of a casino? It's his first time ever being inside of one.
It's probably a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of bright lights and loud music. There's a lot of people chatting and talking and celebrating and cursing for losing, and it's just this cacophony of sound of just all the, a casino, right? I mean, you guys know what a casino sounds like, so it's just that.
From scummy to like really nice.
What's that?
Where is it at?
It's really nice.
This is like a really nice.
This is a really nice
ritzy casino.
Yeah.
Bellagio.
And yeah, there's a bunch of tables and a bunch of slot machines. There's a live band somewhere. You can hear them playing, but you don't really know where they are because this place is so big.
He doesn't know what to do. Probably just following Kale.
Yeah.
And I'm like pretending I know. Chilling. Oh yeah, I love this song. I don't know the song. So I'm like, I'm in everybody. Yeah, and you. I don't know the song.
What you don't know is that it's actually the other members of Hoth Patrol.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. But you never see them, but yeah. It is them.
Sounds so familiar.
So you're at one of the slot machines, and you're acting all pompous and flashy and showing off like you know what you're doing and that you do this all the time.
I know that guy over there. No. Don't point at him. Don't point at him. But I know that
Me,
guy.
I'm like right here.
Hey, dealer, I know this guy. Check this out. Bing! Sorry, we haven't covered that, whether that's cool or not. Boundaries, Kale, boundaries.
At this point, a Hauk approaches you two. You guys have met him before on the show, but not yet in your story. But you guys have met him on Rishi with the pirates, and he was one of the pirates on the train, the one that Acid Spore killed. It's the pirate / gangster, Grumble. He knows you, Kale, because you fucked his wife.
Okay. Classic.
You see him coming right at you. You look around, but there is nowhere to go.
I know this guy. Where do I know this guy coming up to me really quickly?
And he's like, Curl D-bag!
Hey, bucko!
What are you doing inside of my casino?
Is this your casino? That is nice, man. This is a real nice casino, nice spread you got here. I thought it was my buddy's casino. It looks just like this from the outside, wandering in the wrong one. Anywho, look at the time. Gotta.
You know what you did.
Refresh.
My wife!
Oh! Oh, no. I thought the family pictures looked familiar. I've seen your portrait from the photos in your house.
In my bedroom!
Oh, God!
What's happening?
Willie, you remember that time? That I had to use the bathroom at the movie theater. We had to duck out real quick.
Sure.
To be that time, Willie.
Okay.
You look around, and now there are three thugs surrounding you two. There is nowhere to go. Grumble says,
I'm going to give you one chance to make this right, D-bag.
Unfuck your wife?
If we could, we would. I need you to do a job for me. Otherwise, I'm going to kill you. I'll find you, and I'll kill you.
Found and hired. Where do I sign?
So he puts one of his large arms around you, and he and his security team walk you to the back room, leaving Willie behind.
But hold my place. I've got really good cards.
And Grumble leads you out of the back room to discuss the details of the job he needs you to do, leaving Willie Rose sitting at the slot machine all alone in this giant casino.
Stunned silence.
Hey everyone, and thank you for listening to yet another episode of 8-Bit Saga. I know this is not the episode you were looking for, but this is the one that we're giving you. And, there's some things that we wanted to hit, like backstories. You know, we've already done the Sawbone and Chubra backstory, and we did that one right before the crew got to Endor, because we just wanted to, like, emphasize the importance of Chubra going back home, since that was part of his destiny. And then we're doing this one now to kind of show a little bit of backstory for some of these characters. As the episode progresses, you'll see why these backstories are important right now. So anyway, God, spoilers? I don't know. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you are enjoying it. We hope you stick around. Thank you so much, again, as always, for just checking us out. If you want to help support the show, please go check out our Patreon over on patreon.com/8bitsaga. For as little as $1 a month, you can help, make these shows happen. We've got a couple of tiers. We've got the dollar tier, which gets you a thanks. We've got the $5 tier, which you get the extended episodes. and the webcomic when that comes out. Shannon is currently taking a break from working on the comic, so we apologize for the delay in pages, but you can go read like the first 30-something-odd pages over there. We also have a $10 tier, which will be featuring some new campaigns once we get those up and running. I know I said summer, and summer is coming to an end, so I was wrong. I am sorry. We'd like to take a moment to thank all of our Patreons, patrons, whatever you want to call yourselves. And here we go. We got Adriana, Jeremy, Snorkel, Gonoff, Lauren, Random, Brittany, George, Jeff, Amber, Leonard, Mauricio, Sean, Paul, and Milo, whichever. So thank you guys so much for helping support the show. We really appreciate it. And, you know, you guys, you've helped us in ways that I actually can't tell you about. We recently bought a new iMac for recording based on the patrons, so thank you so much. We also have moved our recording space to a new location within the same person's house, but we just moved to a new room, and that helped by soundproofing tiles and a new rug and some really cool stuff. So thank you so much. We love you. We cannot say thank you enough. But for the fuck of it, we're going to do it again. So thank you so much. We also want to thank Graham Plowman for creating the theme song for the show and for allowing us to use his music in the episodes. It has made a huge change to the show by being able to use his music. I mean, episode 42, I think, is one of my best pieces of work as far as using the music and the sound effects and all that to come together. I think it was a very cinematic episode, and I'm very proud of it. And again, it wouldn't be possible without Graham Plowman's music. So go check him out on Twitter at GPComposer, or you can find him over at GrahamPlowman.com. Thank you, Graham. I know you probably aren't listening, but thank you so much, man. If you want to check out other shows on the network, go check out 8-Bit Geek, Divas Dropkicks and Dives, and Brainberry Tarts. All those shows you can find on our website at the8bitgeek.com. You can also find them anywhere you get your podcasts, just like this show. I mean, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, literally anywhere you get a podcast, we're there. All these shows are there, so go check that out. While you're on our website, follow the link and join our Discord, where we have hundreds of people always there. People talking Borderlands 3, because that just came out. There's people talking about World of Warcraft Classic. There's people playing games. I mean, there's literally people online all the time playing WoW Classic. So if you're looking for some people to run with, I'm not saying they're going to let you play with them, but they might. I don't know. Who knows, right? I've also heard rumblings of getting another Minecraft server up and running. So there's just, you know, there's a lot of stuff there for everyone. There's chats to talk about movies. There's chats to talk about, you know, video games and TV and music and, you know, projects you're working on and getting fit and cooking food and all the things in between. So go check it out. Again, over on our website, theepicgeek.com, you can find a link to our Discord. Do it, do it, do it. You can also find a link to our Threadless store, 8bitgeek.threadless.com, where you can get some sick shirts and some stickers and things like that to help support the network. Speaking of supporting the network and not just the show, you can check out the 8-Bit Geek Patreon at patreon.com/8bitgeek, where you get we're at $5, you get the diner, you get the extended episodes of 8-Bit Geek and the extended episodes of 8-Bit Saga. So go check that out, patreon.com/8bitgeek. All right. You can also find us on Facebook at the 8-Bit Geek. You can find us on Twitter at 8bit_saga. And if you use the 8-Bit Saga hashtag, we'll name a character after you. We've got three characters in this episode. We've got Nikki Beeve. Nikki, at Nikki the Bee. Thank you so much. We've also got Senator Luke Tindrell, which is Luke Tindall, at Luke Social, at Luke_social_. And then we've got Grumble, which is Grumble at Jab818. Thank you all so much for tweeting about the show and getting the word out. If you've already tweeted about the show and you've used the hashtag, I've got a giant, giant fucking spreadsheet with everyone's name. And I'm just working my way through it, so stick around. People are showing up when they show up. And I think that's it. Let's get back to this episode. I wanted this to be a short break, and it was as long as it always is, because I cannot shut the fuck up ever. So I'm going to do that now. Let's get back to it. I think we're meeting back up with Marky during his thing. Let's do this. I love you. And I'm not ashamed to say it. Near the end of the year you spent aboard the Sith ship, you are taken off as you arrive on planet It is this red, rocky planet marked by mountains and canyons. As you're being led off the ship, you're immediately hit by hot, dry gushes of wind. You can feel sand and dirt whip across your face as you try to look over the planet through clenched eyes.
And you see there's these giant statues, like old, old statues of like people leading down this valley towards this temple.
Where are we going? What do you want with me?
Again, the Sith ignore you and they take you down past all these tall statues.
And as you're walking down this path, you can see other members of the Sith, the Brotherhood of Darkness, as they call themselves. A few are pointing and jeering as you pass, but most ignore you and the guards as they lead you towards the temple.
Come on, Jimmy. Jacob, what did I do to you? You guys want autographs?
They lead you inside the temple and deep down into the catacombs, eventually throwing you into yet another cell. This one is smaller to the cell on the ship, but it's carved out of stone, with a stone slab as a bed instead of metal. There's another energy field keeping you in, and a metal panel on the wall where that's, you know, where your food will come from.
I am so hot.
And this cell is now your home. You spend the next year in this prison cell, never leaving, never being let out for showers, or time in the yard, you know, none of that. The guards feed you once a day, and they continue to ignore you. You can see other people being brought in and out of the other cells as time goes on, but unlike Senator Luke Tindrill, they are all silent. No one ever speaks to you, never speaking to one another, and rarely speaking to the guards. A little over a year into your stay, you hear commotion in the hallways. You hear orders being barked out. You hear people rushing and packing things. You start to hear a few cells being opened, followed by the sounds of prisoners being cut down. But after about three cells are open, you hear shouting, this time much closer to your cell, right outside. You know, you hear,
"What the hell are you doing? Disposing of the prisoners? There's no time for that. Khan has ordered us to Rusan immediately to finish this war with the Jedi."
"So then what are we supposed to do with the rest of them?"
"Leave them. They'll starve to death soon enough."
And within the day, the halls go quiet. The Sith have left the planet, and they have left you to die.
After about a week or so, you're starting to get dehydrated. You're starting to get weak. And a little rat-like thing somehow squeezes his way out of a crack in the stone.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh, I grab it. And I think, like, I'm so sorry. I'm so hungry. And I bite into it.
Is this your first taste of clam?
This is the first clam.
Yep.
Indeed.
It is a clam, which is just a little rodent. Like creature with a really weird tuft of red fur right on its chin.
Oh my god.
It's got this weird, like, fatty, like, spine thing, you know, and very quickly when you bite into it, you discover, nope, don't eat that. That is too gristly, too chewy.
Oh my god.
So you somehow, with, like, the remains that you didn't eat and stuff, that seems to attract more of them. Because I guess they just eat whatever. And they don't see you for some reason as a threat. So you know, over the next couple of, like, days, you manage, if you're lucky, to get another one. And then another one.
So while you're sitting there one day, hoping to catch another Klim, the lights begin to flicker. At first, it seems like a random flicker. Almost like a trick of the eye. But then, as the day goes on, the flickering continues and it grows more erratic until eventually the lights go out, and then the energy field dissipates. You are now alone in the darkness. You decide to, you know, get out of the cell, and you slowly make your way down the corridor, slowly shuffling past all the other cells in case you, you know, run into something in the darkness. And you find yourself at the guard station. You feel around in the dark, and you can feel that there's this desk, right? And in the desk, a drawer. And you pull the drawer open, and you hear some items roll around inside, and you stick your hand in. You find exactly what you were hoping to find there. An emergency torch. You snap it on, and now you can see the corridor and the cells that connect to it. Behind the station is a doorway, and you can see these stairs leading up into the shadows. And you decide, you know, to try to maybe escape, so you decide to make your way up those stairs.
That chamber, I'm just searching for any source of water.
Yeah.
At all. and just you, looking.
You eventually come across what they had turned into almost like a break room sort of thing, like a guard shift sort of thing, like where they would relax while they're not patrolling or doing whatever they're doing. And you do manage to find a couple of like containers of water.
How many do I find?
You find two cases. They essentially left everything behind.
Okay.
So there are some food parcels as well, and like a lot of food rations and some water and stuff, but it's like they just took their lightsabers and left.
So I have enough to, I kind of take inventory and see how much that, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to be in here if I'm stuck. So I kind of take inventory and say, okay, this is how much I can eat and drink per day in order to make it last.
Mm-hmm.
And so I search around also for any tools or anything that I can cook with. Or
so you're pretty positive that everyone's left based on what you heard. But, you know, you're still being wary because you never know. They could have left one person behind to guard it. So you're being very careful. And you turn down one hallway, and it looks like maybe not a lot of people have been down that hallway. You miss the warning sign that says, use caution. There's damage or whatever. You know, it might cave in, possible cave in. And as you're about to enter, you hear a distant rumble that grows louder and louder. And suddenly the passageway crashes down in front of you in a loud roar, knocking you back a few feet.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And you kind of get spooked. You've been alone for a while now, so this sudden cave-in really scares the shit out of you. So you run back to your cell and you bunker down for a while. You spend about a week sticking to the cell block that you've lived in. You explore the other cells, coming across a few dead prisoners, all but one killed by the Sith before they abandon you. And that prisoner in the cell across from you is clearly starved to death. You manage to find some additional prisoner outfits and are able to change clothes for the first time in a while, but you don't find anything to deal with your long hair or the beard that has grown out, you know, in this last, what, year, 2 years or so that you've been, you know, a prisoner. But after about a week, you don't hear any more rumblings, you don't hear any more crashes, you don't hear anybody else that would have may have shown up, so you decide to explore again. This time you go a little bit farther, and you kind of are able to determine that they've sealed this temple off, so no one can get in and no one can get out. You kind of come to terms that you're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So you spend a couple more weeks exploring when you can, when you feel up to it. Feeling a little bit better now that you actually have food and water. You still hunt the occasional Klim because food rations only taste so good because they're just these little squares of nutrition. You know, they don't taste great. Whereas you've come to like a Klim.
Yeah.
Those tasty especially, boys.
Especially when you cook them, it's almost like chicken.
So 3 more years pass. You've explored what seems like every nook and cranny of this temple. You've collected a store of food and water. Thankfully, rations are meant to last years, so while they might be a little stale, they're still edible. And then one day, you're sitting there in your cell, which by this point is more or less fully furnished with items that you've like found all over this temple and other rooms and chambers. And a thought comes to you. Where did that caved-in hallway lead to? Surely there's another way to get to wherever it led. So you start to draw out the temple in your mind. You have this like beautiful mind-like moment where we can see you build these blueprints of the temple in the air in front of you, and then we can see the path highlighted. You can see a doorway you've never been through, and whatever's on the other side of that hallway must lead there. And that seems to spark something within you. Now there's this pool to investigate. There's this pool to go out and look, to go down these hallways and this path laid out in front of you and go explore and see what it is. So you get up and you follow the pool. You follow the map laid out in your mind and you eventually get to the doorway. But the doorway looks sealed. Instead of a modern kind of door like the rest, you know, you see this stone slab that's acting like a door. You approach it, you know, you're disappointed. All of this to a stone doorway that won't budge. You know, you're feeling like you'll never know what's on the other side. And you kind of slump against the door. You place your hands and your forehead on the door and you're leaning against it in defeat. It starts to vibrate. It starts to kind of rumble underneath your touch. And slowly the door slides open and you enter this room. And you're not entirely sure what this room is for. It seems pointless. There's just this giant room and a giant pedestal in the center. And there's stairs carved into the stone that lead up to this pedestal. And you can't see what's up there. It's dark. But you feel called to go up the stairs.
I'm going to walk up those stairs.
So you,
right.
Yeah, you slowly walk up these stairs, expecting there to be like a trap. But as you get there, at the top, on this giant pedestal, it's like there's this giant slab of rock that's been like elevated, sits a lightsaber.
Interesting. I look around, and I you know, I've seen Athorian Jones.
Yeah.
And so I know what happens here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just extra cautious. But I do go to grab it.
Mm-hmm.
Pull back just a little bit before I do it. But then I commit.
Okay.
I grab it.
So you grab this lightsaber, and you suddenly feel refreshed. Like you haven't been living off of like a piece of ration, a Klim if you're lucky, and some water. Like you feel like you've been like healthy living, eating well, going to the gym. Like you feel fucking pumped. Like you feel great. You feel like you've been well rested, like you've slept on like a feather bed. You feel fucking phenomenal. And you ignite the lightsaber, and it glows this bright crimson red. And you're transfixed by the glow. You see it start to flicker. The color, not the blade itself, but it goes from red to this white silver, then back to red, but then to this purplish hue before returning to red again, and then blue. And the crystal stops flickering. It is no longer corrupted by the dark side. It returns to its original bluish hue. What do you do?
I question, like, is this the Force? Do I feel... What is happening right now?
Yeah.
So I put the lightsaber down, and just to see if the feeling leaves, and it doesn't. It's still there. Yeah. Okay. All right. So I pick it back up, and man, my mind's racing now. And I'm in full, like, I need to figure stuff out. So I'm now I'm overcharged to explore this temple to make sure if there's anything else that I've missed.
Right. So you just take off. You're feeling energized. You've got this mental map of the temple. You know where everything is and where every hallway leads. And using this power and this map built from memory, you remember a crack in the wall. And using the Force, even if you don't know exactly what that means yet, you are able to sense that on the other side of that crack is the outside world. You beeline it to that crack in the wall, and as you approach, you can see the faintest hint of light coming through the crack. You stand there, you center yourself, and using everything in you, you push out, sending a wave of energy at the crack in the wall. The wall explodes, and stone and rock and dust are thrown outward, and as you're now bathed in sunlight, you collapse onto your knees. The energy you had before is now depleted. You are exhausted. But then you hear a voice.
Ma Kenobi? I didn't expect to find you here.
And you look up, and there's this old man. And he's got this dark gray cloak on. And he's got a cane, and he's kind of leaning on it. And he's got this long white beard. And this like long white hair that's been pulled back into a top knot. He's got this red skin, and he just looks super confused to see you.
And I say, do you want an autograph or something?
He laughs to himself, just kind of gives you a little chuckle. Just
no, but I think I can help you.
And he takes his cloak off, and he wraps it around your shoulders. And he helps you up to your feet and leads you to his ship. It's a little star cruiser, not meant for more than maybe 3 or 4 people. And he gets you into a bunk, and you guys leave Korriban, the planet where you've been held these last few years. And then we jump to Willy, Ro, and Kale. A few months have passed since Kale was dragged away by Grumble, leaving Willy alone in the casino. Willy, you return back to the University of Coruscant, but you were over the monotony of school, day in and day out, learn this and learn that. And during a break from your studies, you saw a post from Kale on the holonet. You saw that he was on Coruscant again. And, you know, you decided to give him a call.
Beep, boop, beep.
hello? Ooh, hungover. Hello, who's this?
Hey, Kale.
Hey, who's this?
It's Willie Rowe.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
It's all right.
One second.
Oh, that felt great. Good. I feel so much better. What's going on? What's going on?
I was gonna see where you were.
I'm calling so early, man.
Is it?
It's 2 p.m. Oh my god.
Where are you?
Where am I?
you
yeah, where am I?
You are in orbit around Coruscant. You kind of climb over the lady in your bed.
Yeah. Look out, Mildred.
Yeah, you look out and you see the city planet of Coruscant.
Looks like I'm outside of Coruscant.
Did you leave? Ever?
Yeah, I've been here and there.
Okay, well, I was going to take you up on that offer that you gave to pick me up.
Wait, what? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Give me 15. I'll be down there on planet in 30.
Meet you at the diner?
Yes. All hell right. Yeah.
We'll watch some pod racing and then get off this planet.
Ooh, okay. Semifinals, baby.
So you get to the spaceport. We see your ship landing. We see your landing ramp coming down from the Sweet Mimzo, and we see this alien chick being just kicked off the ship, like, and then like
see your tits,
clothes thrown at her, and then we see your ramp going back up, and you fly into another docking bay.
Oh, God. I like to think that I threw her clothes that were not her clothes. I just tossed them.
Threw clothes. Some of your clothes.
Yeah, there's a pile.
So you land closer to the space Shake Shack, and you guys meet up and you wait in line for another 4 hours and you get your shakes and you sit down to watch some pod racing. Kel, you just finished another job for Grumble, and while doing it, you heard about this other job on Nalhutta, this hut looking for a crew to smuggle some items for him, and you're thinking about joining up.
Listen, Willie, come in here. Don't let anybody hear. I'm really glad you contacted me, because I kind of need an extra pair of hands.
Oh, I have those.
And a big brain.
I got two of those.
This job that I got lined up, word on the wind is that there's this hut that we need to go see.
Okay.
Got a job for us?
Oh.
I mean, you can make a couple of shekels, buy some more books.
Fuck, I've never seen a hut before. That sounds more dangerous than that shit that happened in the casino.
Oh, they're fine. They're cool. Just stay out of their path and stay out of their trail. It's kind of gross.
Yeah.
And with that, you guys head to the spaceport to board the Sweet Mimzo, but not until after buying a pallet of blue milk.
The blue milk a day keeps this dark side away.
And then you guys take off and head towards Nalhutta, where you eventually meet the rest of the crew and go on this crazy adventure. And then we return to Mark and Obi one last time. 2 years have passed. You are now a student under the person who saved you, Master Dromedus. He is teaching you the ways of the Force. This whole time, you've been referring to yourself as a Jedi, and he's like,
well, not exactly. You know, I'm a Force user.
Yeah, Jedis.
Well, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
That's what I know.
Our purpose, my purpose, and your purpose now, is to bring balance to the Force.
As Jedis.
That's something. And, you know, neither light nor dark. We are the in-between to bring balance.
In-between Jedis.
And from then on, he stopped trying to explain exactly what he was. You guys travel the galaxy. You make several pit stops on several different planets, often stopping for months at a time as he trains you. And, you know, there's times where you guys land, you make camp, and then he leaves for like 2 days, and he comes back. Does a little bit of training, you guys leave. Like, there's kind of this pattern of, like, he's obviously hunting something. He's looking for something. And after a while, he comes to you.
Maki.
What's up?
I have a mission for you.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
This will be the first time that I've been away from you.
It's your chance to leave me and go do and use your powers.
I don't know if I'm ready. Do you think I'm ready?
I think you're as ready as you're going to get.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, it just it means what it means. So, listen.
I love how vague he is. Yeah. Just,
I need you to go
to
Nalhutta.
Okay.
There's a hut there.
Oh, I don't know, man. You know, like, last movie I did was financed by the huts. And, like, I disappeared. Like, what if they kill me or find me or see me or notice me?
I don't know if they've noticed.
Notice what?
Well, I mean, you've been gone for 7 years. I mean, it'll be fine.
Okay.
Just use it.
Use what?
You're a movie star.
What do you mean?
I don't know, like...
I was?
Yeah. Well, just continue to act like one.
So you want me to... You want me... Jedis don't lie.
Everyone lies. A little white lie never hurt anybody.
Okay, well, do I like... Am I going undercover?
Well, no. I'm just saying, like, if anyone, you know, bucks up against you...
So don't say I'm a Jedi.
I don't care.
But act like an actor.
Yeah.
So you want me to be an actor who acts like an actor, but not a Jedi only if I need to be?
You're making this very confusing. Listen, I just need you to go...
This is going to be the greatest role I've ever played.
Sure. So, you're going to go down there. You're going to meet with this hut named Verbok. Mm. All right? He is assembling a team of, like, people to go do missions for him and find artifacts and collectibles. I need you to go join this team and find any Sith or Jedi holocrons.
Okay.
Yeah.
So... Do I tell them I'm a Jedi?
Sure.
Infiltrate the group.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, whatever. Just get on this team.
Like a Suicide Squad.
No. What? No.
Like a Suicide Squad.
No.
No?
Go join this team.
Okay.
Find artifacts.
Got it.
Get artifacts if you can. If not, call me and I'll go get them.
Okay.
And then, you know, just... Get those. I need those. I need the artifacts. I need Jedi holocrons. I need Sith holocrons. I need, you know, things of their teachings for
okay.
No reason whatsoever that is important to you.
Can I teach off of them?
What? No. What? No. No.
Would don't. Could I use them?
No, I wouldn't. I don't think you're there yet. No, that when you get back, that'll be the next chapter of your training.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
I could do that.
All right. In a couple of months, I'll reach out to you. And
it's a long mission.
Well, traveling around the galaxy does take some time. So I'll reach out to you,
okay.
And then you come back, and then we'll continue your training.
Okay, I hope I'm up to this.
I hope you are as well.
Quick question.
Uh-huh.
Do I kill people if I run into issues?
I don't give a shit. If it's in self-defense, sure.
Okay, so just don't go out, like, murder people.
No. Oh, God, no.
Okay. I don't know. I've never used this thing a lot on things other than, you know, training dummies.
Fair. You see him, like, think for a second, kind of pulls his beard, and he's like, one more thing.
Oh.
If anyone asks.
Okay.
I've decided this. You are a student of the Jedi. And he mind tricks you.
I'm a Jedi.
Yep. That is all I've ever taught you.
Of course.
I am a Jedi master.
Hello, that's what I've been saying this whole time.
Just making sure that we're both clear and on the same page.
Yeah, we're Jedi.
Okay, cool.
Duh.
All right, I'll call you in a few months. You have fun.
Okay, Master.
All right.
And I kneel and bow, waiting for him to bless me.
He just kind of looks down at you like, I don't know what you want me to do.
Is this where you, like, knight me or something?
He does the crucifix on your forehead. I don't know what I did.
I'm now
just felt,
a Jedi master.
Well, no, hold on. And you run off.
How this whole thing works at all.
And you board a transport ship and you travel to Nalhutta, where you somehow make your way to the Tiki Hut, where the meeting is taking place. And that is where the rest of your journey begins. Mm-hmm.
To be continued next time on 8-Bit Saga Presents Shadow of the Old Republic.